Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello. Yeah, welcome to tonight's show. This is Deborah Voith, and I am here with co-host Elvira Love and our wonderful announcer, Nagashiva Ironwood. So this month's theme, as we journey through the depths of January, is the balance of shadow and light. And tonight, we will be talking about ancient Egyptian goddess Maat from the perspective of contemporary paganism. So first we're going to catch up with each other and talk about our week. My week was, it was kind of quiet in some ways. It was, I feel like I'm actually kind of struggling to get back into balance. So this very much goes along with the shadow and light, because we have had a string of really gray days here in Wisconsin. And our snow shower tonight is actually very much like a shower. It's like an icy cold rain shower. And it's starting to stick to the road. And when I look out the window there, it looks pretty slippery. The other thing that was going on is my husband has COVID, and so that's been kind of challenging. I felt bad for him because it seems like this, whatever this latest variation of the COVID is, he really has got like a really hoarse cough with it, a lot of coughing. And, you know, so I've been kind of trying to be helpful to him, stuff in. And it's interesting because it's I love having him around, but then on the other hand, I am used to being by myself a lot more. And so with him here, I'm starting to feel like over the past week, I've been starting to feel kind of unsettled or restless. And I think it's because I usually have a lot more alone time, you know, for making notes and processing where I'm at with things and stuff like that. So the other thing, talking about balance, is I'm continuing with, there's something that's called the Shed Challenge Group. And it's facilitated by Misa and Laura L. from Mahika, And they're so inspirational. They talk about lifestyle changes and eating, exercise, and all those other kinds of tidbits that they share. And so I'm really liking, you know, they're so good at kind of like working and reaching out to the community. And so they just kind of started this little group where we do like a Zoom meeting like every Monday morning, kind of get our week off to a good start. So that's been really, really inspirational. And I even have been doing some of the things that they've been talking about, which is good for me. The only other thing this week is I just have to say that this has been a very odd week in regard to getting some very very strange client request. And you know what? That's all I'm going to say about that. How's your week been, Elvira?
Well, you know, I mean, it kind of fits in. It's like trying to find balance. It was interesting because, as we always know, since we pick these topics, we go out of our way to, you know, work really hard at planning our 6 months, you know, process down to our shows. But we never know how it's going to come about. But we've gotten accustomed now, as you pointed out, finding your balance of, you know, that particular thing happening in our own lives, however it does. So mine pretty much has been, you know, that same kind of process of balancing the things that need to get done and actually learning to do one thing that I have a hard time doing, which is balancing rest. You know, the idea of sitting and doing, when I say nothing, it means being quiet and not for maybe, oh, half hour I'll do this. It means like taking some legitimate time to be with the space of yourself. I have animals, so being with them and even being with family. It's like, you know, over the holidays we were all with family, but we were all with this activity level of doing. And that is something that came up. Obviously, we were fine. I got through my health issue, and I was fine after the cold and everything, and that was great. But it also taught me something to remember when it's not about, you know, a health situation. So I've been trying to literally find that in my day with whatever I'm doing. And the cold weather is actually being, shall we say, very mindful of making that, because you're not going to go spend a lot of time outside. I mean, I went out this morning, you're talking about, you know, snow showers. Literally, I was outside cleaning up the area my dogs, you know, go in so that, you know, we don't have mucho messes. And I was getting literally showered on, but not by the water and not by, you know, hail, but it was the snow that was hard that was coming down, but not super hard. And I was going, this is what they mean by snow showers, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been that. I did have one really nice highlight that was family and just in general to get out. We had one really good day, which was Sunday. So we went up to Eureka Springs, the core family, and we wandered around, and my granddaughter went and played at one of the main hotels. They have a bunch of different things for the winter. Now, I don't think it's open right now for ice skating, but they have a little ice skating rink, and then they have all kinds of different, you know, things that you can do and wander around. So we did that and walked around the town and, you know, had coffee and then, you know, went and ate and then, you know, kind of just spent really nice time just being together. And then, you know, was exhausted. Literally, I was exhausted. By the time I got through, my little step counter was well above what my goal is. And I'm like, look at it, this good. Well, that's nice. But I'm tired. You know, but it was nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to get the fresh air. And it wasn't as cold or biting as it had been or that it is now. And, you know, doing like maintenance, running out, starting my cars so that, you know, they're in a carport. But, you know, starting them so that they're happy little campers and, you know, that, you know, everybody's on task with oil and all the rest of this stuff. That's been about it, you know, just maintenance of the circumstances and getting my Christmas stuff down. I succeeded in all of the outside Christmas coming down and getting in their tubs. Yeah,
man,
and then
I have not done that yet.
Well, don't feel bad, honey, because my house has still got the tree up and all the decorations around. And I'm like looking at this going, well, come the end of the week, we're definitely going to be, you know, not going out. And so I'll be able to use the time to start taking things down and, you know, packing it up, but not like there's some kind of deadline. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't want to let go of it yet. And it was just like, no, it still needs a little bit of that. Now that we got snow on the ground, I think I can let go.
Yeah.
So that's
been
my week.
Yeah, this is one of the, I would say one of the nicest Christmas trees I've ever gotten. And that's why I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm going to hang on to it for a while because it's like the needles aren't dropping. It still smells really good. And it's,
ooh, nice.
Yeah. But I really like what you were saying. I kind of keyed into just some alone time or some downtime, because sometimes I'll mistake kind of slubbing in front of the TV as downtime, and it's really, really not. Like, I can feel a difference when I don't take that time without a bunch of other sensory input going on.
Right. Truly. And, you know, we have all kinds of different things that draw us. Our phone is the biggest taskmaster because of how much is on there that we do, not just answer the phone. And, you know, so there's a lot of that. And I guess in a way, I just was kind of aware that I'm trying to avoid being forced into something because the body and, you know, maybe the emotions and the mind go, you know, girl, you need downtime. But I will say one thing to your unusual requests that have come up. I've had people that I haven't heard from in a year, 2 years, suddenly connecting with me, and not in a bad way, but in a way that just sort of gets, you know, it's like, I needed to talk to you. And I'm like, well, I've been around. You know? But it's like, I guess it's because it's the new year, and a lot of times the things that they've been working on that they keep wanting, no matter how much it doesn't come to pass, they get to the new year. And I don't necessarily, I'm truly a Sag. I do try diplomacy, but I do say what, you know, what comes out, and I, you know, try to be nice about it. I don't sit there and, you know, browbeat somebody, but it's kind of tough when you get some of these things. But yeah, it's kind of like, I think that may be just a lot of the weird energy that's still filtering through from last year and into this year, kind of that transition period. But I feel for you on that. I really do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like that our theme of shadow and light and talking about the goddess Maat was really about justice and balance is very fitting for tonight. And so on that note, I'm going to talk a little bit about who and what Maat is. And so I just want to start out with just, you know, her general bio, I guess. So the goddess Maat is usually depicted, if anybody saw our ad for the show tonight, as a beautiful young woman wearing an ostrich feather, is her symbol, and the feather is worn in her headband, and she's also sometimes shown with wings. And so Maat is a primordial Egyptian goddess who is believed to have brought order into the chaos of creation. That, you know, so we can understand what, just with that statement, like how vast and immense the concept or the goddess of Maat is. thought to have the divine energies of truth, balance, harmony, order, morality, and justice. And as the face of the goddess, she personifies all of those concepts. And on a side note, like I know sometimes I've seen myself and other people kind of cringe a little bit with the word morality. And I just want to say at the offset, for the onset of the show, that the way that I be moral or morality is kind of like with the old Aesop's fables, where you would learn the moral of the story. And so learning the moral of the story is like learning the truth of something. And so I would just say, if anyone's uncomfortable with that word, then I would just think of it as getting to the truth of something. So she, there's a whole set of deities that came before her, and they're known as the Agdod, and they're 8 deities that spring from 4 powers. So there's Nu and Nanet, primordial waters or oceans, Amun and Amunet, the atmosphere or air, Kuk and Kuket, dark and light, Ahet, infinity, from where creation flows. So vast powers kind of set the stage for creation, and out of that came what is thought of as the root deities, such as Atum. And from there, other deities sprang forth from the earth and the sky. And then some of the deities we're probably more familiar with, such as Osiris, Isis, Mut, came along. And as things evolved, a couple of the key players also appear, who kind of act as bridges between the Ugdad and the deities closer to our world and humanity. And those two real significant ones are Thoth and Mas. And I just want to say one more thing before I kind of get some thoughts of yours. But I know that Thoth is probably, I think a lot of people associate Thoth with magic. And is called the balance of utterance, of communication, and magic. And Thoth acts kind of as the accountant of souls, because he's the one who kind of records the results of life. And Mat, his female counterpart, is the balance, the power of balance, which flows through everything, bringing order from chaos. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much, there's such a vast, rich history if you start looking and diving into all of the, Egyptian deities. And so I know I just kind of started us off here, but I was wondering what some of your thoughts were about just, the whole concept or the whole persona of Mat.
Wow. It's like a mouthful here. Well, it's interesting.
So
one of the things, Maat is the in place to balance East, I'm going to say this, Isfet, chaos, and the goddess of chaos. So it and Ra put them, in this balance. At least that's how it, one among many different versions. There's, a lot of things that go on. But because of that, I was looking at that going, well, that's interesting because she is balanced and I understand. And, out of the primordial chaos, these other, deities came that were one set, and then they got into another set, and we you know, actually, believe it or not, you and I have discussed primordial gods and goddesses that seem to be coming to the fore for us to work on in our shows. But and that's why when I was reading this, I was going, oh my God, look at this, because I hadn't really thought of it that deeply. You know, so I guess this is a good education for both of us. But it's basically the significance. Her significance was to develop to the point to embrace all aspects of existence, you know, the balance of equilibrium of the universe, the relationship between constituent parts, cycles of seasons, heavenly movement, meaning the stars and the sun and the, you know, kind of a thing. And then, of course, religious observations and basically good faith, honesty, truthfulness, and social interactions. That was kind of like where they, you know, if you condense the bigger part, because she comes with a lot, as you said, but if you condense that and put it together, that is the idea that she kind of is the container for all of this. And I was aware that, you know, with that, it then formed a, you know, it was formed for meeting a complex need that began to emerge. Now we're talking coming from the deity point of reference into the human level, that the Egyptian actual state, the people, had, you know, that was to embrace all different variations of people with the conflicts and conflicting interests that they come with, and then develop rules to avert Esef chaos and become more of a basis of a collective. And then, of course, you know, out of that, we have then the ruler, i.e. King Pharaoh, must speak her decree from his mouth, but it has to be conceived from the heart, because that's part of her work. And I thought of that, and, you know, it's interesting, because you're talking about an ancient culture, and yet here is the format of what other nations and tribes and, you know, cultures start their basis on, to try and find a way to, you know, bring that balance together of all these different parts. So that was, you know, I mean, from in the big perspective of what I was trying to, you know, get, that's what came to me. I mean, there's, as you said, and I will say again with you, there are a lot of levels with this goddess and what her, what she was there for in a form that we as humans could understand, but in how this all came together. I was really pressed. I just sat writing my notes going, oh my goodness, because there was just so much here to put down. But I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah. I just, much respect to be given to the ancient Egyptians, because they did really know their shit. You know, they just, with that whole concept of Mat and how he is the face of a goddess, but she is also like the principles for living. And I thought it was interesting how you talked about the kings and how they were aligned with Mat and like represented her or channeled her. Like I know there were sacred kings in the old kingdom, and that it's kind of funny, because the way that I read it, if I'm understanding it right, is that these sacred kings, they almost became like a sacrifice in a way, where they would take on the helm of Mat, and they would do it for their kingdom and for their people. And so in that
mm-hmm.
way, they had to adhere to those principles and to kind of like let those principles flow through them and out to the rest of the kingdom. And in that
right.
way, they were able to receive answers and support from the gods and also keep harmony and balance within their kingdom. And so
mm-hmm.
that's like a whole, I think that that whole scenario of sacrifice for the good, the higher good, or for redemption is
mm-hmm.
seen in other stories, in other, you know, sets of practices and faiths and stuff like that. So, yeah,
right.
that I thought that was real interesting because then some writers, some philosophers thought that when the kings later became corrupted that part of their relationship with Mat is when
mm-hmm.
things started to fall apart.
Right.
So it's
right.
interesting. It's an interesting thought. But anyway, we are getting very close to a break. And so I think that we are going to break and come back and talk more about this immense power of the goddess Mat. And so with that, break us away, Nagashiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voice, Tuesdays, 4 to 5. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Welcome back.
Well.
So, regarding this vast topic, I'm going to let Elvira start out with continuing onward.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
there's so much that can be said that I think that whatever you come up with
it's gonna be good.
Yeah,
that'll
yeah.
be wonderful. Well, we'll
oh,
try
I
to get that
and...
that affinity. It's interesting because you know again we're looking at you know Ma'at is I mean she bound all things together in an indestructible unity, you know, so it was like the universe, the natural world, the state, which is, of course, when we talk about that, that would be the, again, government, and individuals, and it really became one of those things where you look at it and you go, it's a principle, it's a deity, a goddess, and yet it is, I mean, it's a path to walk and to be a part of. And granted, I mean, technically she's, you know, the daughter of Ra and the wife of Thoth or consort, which is, you know, we've talked about him briefly. And she did have an offspring, Sechet. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, you've got the same concepts of all of the energies from primordial to one set of deities to another set of deities, and then, you know, offspring thereof. And she, again, it would be the levels you go from the purest point of reference to the next level, to the next level. And you mentioned the corruption that happened later in, you know, how her principles and her energy wound up, you know, they lost track of the core, not necessarily super pure, because again, if we were to say we went to the purest whatever, it would be very hard to live it in the physical world. But they lost their way, and I think that one of the things, and I know you'll probably go more into the actual mythology, but I love the concept of the afterlife. I mean, it's not because of, you know, I'm death orientated, but it's like they go to the hall of the two truths, the deceased, and the thing that they get is, you know, we talk about the Book of the Dead. You know, the deceased gets a sort of a manual that they take with them to handle how to go through this process. And, of course, part of it is you go into the Hall of the Two Truths, and there's Mott, and her, you know, the heart is on one scale, and it's sitting upright, and the feather is also upright. And, of course, then there's, you know, Anubis, the god that leads the deceased into the underworld. And later, actually, Osiris kind of took on that aspect. But it turns out that there are certain things, and I know you'll go over them. I don't, you know, there are 42 of these fundamentals and these things that they must speak and say to then be weighed, because every statement then gets is part of the weighing of that heart. And if it becomes too heavy or corrupt, then, of course, it is, you know, they don't get to go out of the area of Duat, which is, you know, the first level, you know, to be able to, you know, go into the, it's called Aru, A-A-R-U, which is kind of like, we'll just call it the Valhalla of the Egyptians. and because the heart then winds up getting tossed over and eaten by a goddess, and she, you know, and that's it. You stay in that level. And I'm thinking, you know, if you really look at that, the things that they talk about are things that you and I would think of as principles that we want to live by. I mean, really, they're pretty, I mean, they have a little bit of a bent towards more, you know, ancient culture existence, but think about where it is. I mean, and I really, I don't know, it just made a lot of sense. I mean, we talk about, you know, heaven and hell and the more traditions that have created it, but think about this group took this energy and made it into this whole level of, if you want to go beyond this level, you need to maintain in the physical realm the balance that Ma'at put together. And that was the biggest thing I kind of enjoyed reading, mostly because it put, you know, Sagittarians are the truth, get into the truth and all that. But it rang to me, you know, like, oh, wow, I can't just say because she has the scales, you know, she's equated to this, you know, sign or this thing. I was just looking at the intensity of what this represented. And I almost mm-hmm. even wanted to say she reminded me, when you think of America, and, you know, mm-hmm. they have the goddess of freedom sitting on top of the Capitol. They have
yes.
the Statue of Liberty that was created, you know, and
mm-hmm.
put in there. And you think about those principles
yeah.
of where this country, which is a new version of everything compared to all these ancient cultures,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, it you go there and you go, yes, we are human, but
mm-hmm.
we need to learn to live to our higher values than stay to our baser ones.
Yes.
So that's
yeah.
what I
yeah.
took away from all of
yeah.
that. Because, yeah.
Yeah, I can see so much of that. Where, I mean, there's, if you just look at the ideals, you know, that none of us are perfect and that we're not going to always be adhering to the highest principles and stuff like that. But I think that that's different than basically knowing what the principles are and trying to trick them or trying to, slide past them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also saw that in the Book of the Dead that there actually are a number of spells for
yeah.
how to trick or lie about the 42 laws of Maat and slide by. But the thing is that from my understanding, from different occultists that I've seen comment on that, is that it doesn't really work.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It might seem like a good idea at the time, and there are many spells in there for that sort of work, but it doesn't really work. And so that kind of makes sense because that, you know, if we think of each of us as, you know, individual souls, and
mm-hmm.
and the vast power of Maat, you know, that permeates all of the universe, we are like a grain of sand on the beach. I mean, it's and so trying to trick or goad something like that does not seem like a good idea.
Really?
and I think the whole thing of what they're measuring is your heart. They're not measuring your brain. They're
mm-hmm.
not measuring, you know, other body parts. They're measuring your heart, which really says a lot because I know I can, if I stay in the mindset of conscious mental energy, you know, where I'm analyzing and just, you know, staying with that mental energy, it, in a way, that becomes easier to how can you say, like, justify things or
mm-hmm.
rationalize things and stuff like that. But if I drop down into my heart energy and I'm really examining what's going on at the heart of something, it becomes much harder, I think, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more, yes, my way of thinking, you're, like, more authentic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As you are coming through your heart. And so, you know, I think that you, the ideal was to be in a state of alignment with Maat, to be able to cross that veil in the afterlife, because everybody had to pass through there and have their
mm-hmm.
heart weighed on the scale against her feather of truth. So that really, I like the whole story. I think that's probably my favorite. There's a lot of stories associated with her, a lot of different lore. But I really like the whole thing about the scale and the afterlife. And I've read some, we call them theories, or some people that do a lot of, let's say, inner journeying, where
mm-hmm.
they've seen that some souls will go and they'll, you know, after they have passed, and instead of going forward to the scale, they'll turn around and come right back into life,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
with the whole reincarnation thing, because they're frightened and they don't want to go against the scale and be judged by Mott.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really plays a lot into, I think, like the whole concept of karma, in a way where it's, the karma is that we're here, you know, in life to learn and to grow and to evolve. And if we're not, you know, I think possible to evolve, that's not too great, but if we're not learning and using this being in the physical realm as the opportunity it is to learn and to evolve and to grow, then yeah, we might, you know, I can see getting frightened and running back right back into
mm-hmm.
the physical realm again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you know, none of us like tests. I think that's the hardest part of anything, whether we, you know, I can't say none. There's a bulk of people that do not like tests. And this is a test of how well you lived a life. And, you know, the similarities, the interesting levels of where different spiritual beliefs, cultures that have, you know, changed and moved into different, you know, areas and then created this. And, you know, it's very fascinating to see that there's a bulk of it always starts with the concept of right life, you know, being living an honest and balanced life and being a good person and what that means. And that, you know, the being in that, and then the fall of from, you know, the fall and where it goes to. It is not, and I personally feel it's more like wake-up calls that, you know, stop being so petty and small and, you know, out of, you know, these different aspects of fear that create that, mm-hmm. whatever that is, and look at, you know, the interaction of the community, both the community on the physical plane and the community with the elements and the community with the universe, and, you know, you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why Mott is so, and why she mm-hmm. is a so huge that it takes a lot to describe her or different ways to bring it back into the physical. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's an immense point of reference, but I also feel it's also very, and I know this is going to sound convoluted, it's very simple. I mean, if you, mm-hmm. you can live a, you know, a when I say a good life, if you can be a person who helps others and helps the, you know, the things that, you know, are around you and do that, it's whether you become famous or you don't, you know, the idea is that what you have given to the world and humanity is that vibration, and sometimes that is enough in its own right to balance the scales, not just of yourself, but of the external world. I mean, we never know who or what that one moment can do in a very positive way. So, yeah, very profound. And I know, you know, we've got, you know, like, I can look and say, well, okay, you know, her animals are ostrich and, you know, this, the vulture, or her herbs are orris root and papyrus and aloes and rose and, you know, those things. And those are very good for us to remember and use and be a part of in the physical plane. But it's as simple as, you know, just like we were talking in our personal lives, taking some time and being quiet and, you know, maybe visualizing a scale and seeing, you know, the heart and the feather, but seeing the energy for that moment that we have felt out of balance shift and be healed by that feather and be moved out so that we balance, you know, just in our breath. We just breathe it. So, I mean, there may be no formal ritual, but it's a way to bring us peace and balance.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing that I thought about while you were talking was it's you have two roads before you, and so it's not taking the easier, softer way. And as a recovering addict, what I know is that you hear that term all the time, you know, just that the easier, softer way is actually not the easier, softer way. Sure, it looks like it. You know, skirting around and trying to not have to be responsible for this or that or whatever. It seems easier at the time, but what happens is it ends up being more complicated and usually putting more problems into your life. And so it ends up actually being the harder, more difficult
right.
way to deal with things. And, yeah, so there's that. And so I just... you know, and I think that these are lovely ideals to try to ascend to. And and at the same time, knowing that we're imperfect, we're going to struggle with a lot of those things. But that's like the whole point of it. You know, that's like the whole point of being here in the physical realm, living in life day to day, is that, yeah, this shit's going to be... keep coming up, you know, and that's all right, you know. Sometimes I'm going to do it well. Sometimes I'm just not going to do it at all. You know, and sometimes I might only do it halfway, you know, but but my intention is that I want to always try, you know, to grow and to move beyond the challenge that comes up today. Yeah.
I think, you know, the most important part of it is the concepts are there, and to use those to the best of our ability, to work with them, to, you know, just like, okay, we're talking pagan, we're talking Wicca and witchcraft and, you know, all of that I don't want to say alternate, but a version of this. And yet, when you talk about the different, you know, the fundamentals, I mean, I read them. There was, you know, it was, they had it in, I think, Wikipedia or something like that. And I read them, and it was like reading the Gospels, okay? I mean, it wasn't like identical, but it, you know, it really kind of had a lot of similarity to the point of reference that, these are common themes that will go throughout all of the religions and beliefs and everything. And that's what we need to find. And we can aspire to the best of our abilities. But it just, you know, I don't know. I think I may see somebody as different or strange or whatever because they're not from where I come from, so to speak. But it's never stopped me from connecting people that are that way unless, you know, they are acting dangerously. And then I kind of, you know, take a bigger view of that, but maybe, you know, skirt away. But truthfully, I was impressed by those. And that's, you know, we're talking, you know, 2300 BCE, something like that, and even more. I mean, that's a lot to say.
Yeah. That's why I definitely give much respect to the ancient Egyptians, because it's like, wow. That, you know, I think that probably all the other spiritual principles that have been handed down probably kind of sprung off of those, you know, whether it's the Ten Commandments or, you know, I'm very limited in my spiritual principles. I kind of like the 12 steps because they're kind of like,
well, there you go.
Steps,
I mean, you
top down to baby food.
Yes. Well,
so that
I
can understand them.
Yeah. But you see, it's this, you know, Sumeria and, I mean, the Fertile Crescent. That was where the birthplace of so much came from. And Egypt and Egyptian, you know, deities and mythologies. I mean, it's all part of that same kind of flow. And you know darn well that, you know, we sit here and we talk about this, but these are things that have outlived cultures and outlived civilizations and are still there. And, you know, maybe they're reborn in another form, but it's also, this, you know, you have heritage. I mean, we all come from descendants, whether we come from the descendants that we consciously know of, that we can put our little fingers to, or we do our DNA tests and we go all the way back, you know, into, you know, wherever, South Africa, you know, Egypt, whatever. But it's, we all have this energy pattern that flows back into the source. However we see the source. I think that's what I see here, is the vastness that she represents.
Yeah, and that, you know, is basically going beyond, you know, the physical suits that we wear as we are here in spirit, you know, and that's where, you know, especially like tapping into that heart energy is where we really truly do connect with each other. And, you know, just considering the times as how chaotic and rocky as they are now, we probably all need a little more flow of Mott into our lives. You know, I think that gods and goddesses are real, and that I think our relationship with deity is a very personal thing. It totally transcends time and place, you know, and that any ritual that we do is an attempt to reconnect to that divine.
Right.
So, they're, you know, cities are so much larger than people, larger than countries, larger than places and time, and they're unlimited, and that's kind of what makes them deity.
Yeah, and we're awestruck by how much that can be, and you know, I think, whether or not we, as you say, we do ritual to Ma'at, but Ma'at is a belief in something that it's got a principle. It's bigger. And the heart is the heart, you know. You know that the heart was the only organ they would not take out of the mummy? That was something I didn't bring up at all until just now, because when they would mummify the body, they take out all the organs. The heart was not. The heart stayed.
You know, Elvira, I don't think I realized that. Wow.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, I kind of went into a little bit of, you know, like, okay, so what do they do with the mummy, and how, you know, because they go into all the different funerary things, and I didn't want to go into all of that, but that was the one little piece that I went, wow, now that's cool.
So, well, we're getting close, so probably we'll kind of wind down to some final thoughts here. Well, you know, I believe Mott is a vast power dynamic of balance and justice that does filter every aspect of life. And I also believe she's a deity, but I think to limit her to just the face of the goddess would also be limiting her. So I think that anyone who's intrigued by Mott, go research her. Go, you know, beyond Wikipedia. She's so much more than that. And I feel like even with what I know and the bit of research that I did, it's just scratching the surface. And I think that with that whole core principles of Mott, instead of waiting till the afterlife, we can work within the deeper mysteries of Mott while we're still in life and raise our vibration in the here and now and bring justice and balance, you know, starting with ourselves. And that does, you know, permeate out to everything and everyone around us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you said it well. I don't need to. I think I'm fine with what that was. It was very meaningful. And I'm just going to kind of say that I this brought up a lot of interesting feelings for me. And I think that finding balance is a constant thing. And, you know, with our breath in and our breath out. And that's how I see working with her is the breath. And the heart is there, and the feather is there. So just breathing. For me, it's just breathing.
I like that. I like that. Thank you, Elvira. So it is time for us to say goodbye, but I should mention our theme for January is the balance of shadow and light. So, you know, join us next week, Tuesday, when Elvira and I will be talking about healing past life.
Oh, intrusions.
Intrusions, yeah. Oh, did I say something? Did I say something else? Whoops.
I don't know, but I thought I didn't hear it.
Maybe I wasn't enunciating. Okay, anyway. So thank you. And goodbye, everyone. I would say my thing. Goodbye, everyone. Until then, which on, which well, and which wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestesscauldron.com. That's witchpriestesscauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.